Man, oh man, how fast a week goes. Nate, what's going on? You ready for Nate and TD?
See, we back in this thing, man. I hope the people ready.
Back in the house once again. Yo, man, let's just start it right off and talk about this Browns game. I don't even really know where to begin. It was just one of those situations where it went sideways quickly and just continued to tumble down the hill, but what's your most significant takeaway from that game?
All in all, I think this Titans team has all this season been indicative to playing a full 60-minute game. Whether the first half of the game doesn't go correct or the second half of the game doesn't go good for them, they play a full 60-minute game and they give all they can in the end. Came up, 6 points short to the Cleveland Browns, but once again, it's just very, very, very clear to me that, the secondary is continuing to struggle. There was an issue with getting home to Baker Mayfield and making plays on the quarterback. And, surprisingly so, as I stated about last week, just finding the true identity of this offense and what they truly want to do and being unapologetic about it. I think throughout the game, they had some good things going at times, but, I think there's instances where sometimes I can see Art Smith outthinking himself and not sticking to what this team does best, and that's being physical and being a downhill running football team. And unless you're going to be unapologetic about it, it's going to be an issue because you outthink yourself too much often at times. And that's just what I've seen from this offense. A couple of guys weren't able to make the plays that they typically make. A couple of lapses early on in the offense with Derek fumbling. A mishap on an early third down that I think completely changed the game with trying to go to an offensive lineman in the open field. And those things are hindrance when you're trying to face a team like a Cleveland Browns team. They were very hot at the time. They still are. They're very hot. They're playing some quality football on both sides of the ball and trying to make sure that they give themselves an opportunity to further their season into the playoffs. So this is going to have, this is an identity crisis for, in my opinion, for this team. And until that they're in a place of comfortability to be unapologetic about what they do, it's going to continue to be an issue.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's crazy because that's exactly what they were the previous game against the Colts. They were unapologetic. They knew exactly where they wanted to go. That was where DeForest Buckner wasn't. And they attacked it and just kept going after it. And then you have this Browns game and, they didn't do that. Let's get into the receivers a little bit too, because you did see a continued emergence of, Corey Davis and him being able to do what he did. I thought he had a solid game. He caught the football well. After the game, I asked him about, playing as confidently as ever. And he said that he's always been confident. He's healthy, So when you look at his performance, what are your thoughts on what Corey Davis was able to do?
Well, I'm gonna go here. I'm gonna switch over and go here. We've talked about AJ so much this season on the show. I think he's done an excellent job of requiring the respect that he's deserved throughout this time. But to be honest and completely transparent here, he hasn't played well here these last couple games. He's made some big plays, some splash plays for this team, and has done some good things with making that one or two plays throughout the game. But when you speak of consistency and you can speak of dependability, you have to look at Corey. You have to look at Corey and what he's brought to this offense. When it's third down and there's a situation at hand, I'm a huge fan of what AJ has been able to do for this offense once again. But these last couple of games, when it's gotten to third down, I've been sitting at home just saying to myself, find Corey. Find Corey because he's going to be dependable. He's going to run a correct right route. He's going to give the quarterback opportunity and space to put the ball in a good area for him to make a play on it. And he's catching the ball well. He's doing a good job of catching the ball well and being dependable, moving the sticks, making big plays, making the short plays. He's even doing a great job in the run game. And that's something that, I think this Titans fan base and this organization knew that they can get from this guy when they selected him in the first round a couple of years ago. You know, surprisingly so, and unbeknownst to a lot of people, being the school that he's coming from. But the situation is there now, and it's definitely coming into fruition that Corey Davis is definitely a dependable and a reliable source for this Titans offense. And he's doing everything that he can to complement AJ's ability on the other side and definitely be there for this pass game when you have to make sure that you the other teams are preparing for the run game. He's doing a great job right now. And all in all of the things that he's doing, making plays, you know, and being reliable, I think it's just his dependability right now is just uncanny. To have a guy out there to know that you're going to have a play from him to move his sticks and continue your offense on, that's just definitely what this Titans offense needs right now.
Yeah, and I think in all of that, what you're seeing is chemistry really become something that Corey Davis and Ryan Tannehill have. And it's such a changeover from last year, because there were so many times last season where Corey Davis would be running open and Tannehill just didn't see him. And you would hear Tannehill after games say, hey, you know, I need to look to him more and I need to get him the ball more. And now you're seeing it happen. I mean, you look at last week, we're talking about career highs, 11 receptions, 182 yards. You know, those are both career highs. He had 12 targets, too. I think it's really remarkable that that many, you know, 11 out of 12 targets were completed, you know, and that's a really nice sign of the connection that they're having. And when you look at that touchdown that they had, you know, that was an excellent play. It was a broken play. Corey was able to turn his route upfield. Tannehill bought a little bit more time and they connected a contested catch for a much needed touchdown. So I think that chemistry is there. And Nate, I want to ask you, you know, looking at that chemistry develop and having a guy who compliments A.J. Brown so well and a guy who does such a good job going and digging it out down the field on running plays when it comes to blocking, is Corey Davis someone that will be back? And if so, why should he?
Well, here's the thing. I think it's the best situation for both parties. I've spoke before on the show previously about, you know, it always being a business move for both sides. And both sides wanted them put themselves in position. When I say both sides, the organization and the player themselves, when they hit free agency, to put themselves in the best situation for them. And I think it would definitely benefit both parties, the Titans organization and Corey Davis as his own person, to definitely invest in at least another year into this relationship. I think they're both coming along at a time where it can present an opportunity for growth, consistency and that continuity with Ryan and Corey, and definitely gives them a dependable guy on the other side of AJ. The free agency market can be fickle. You know, you can go on the free agency market and you can find one of the best players at the best times for a great price. And you can also go in that thing and fish and find out that your big guppy is just a small goldfish, you know? So I think the best situation for both parties is to have a reliable up-and-coming surgeons of Corey Davis to stick around, and also for Corey to give himself another year to grow in a system that he's familiar with and comfortable with, and give himself an opportunity to raise his market value. You know, put himself in a one-year deal situation and go make some more plays. Now your market value raises, your price raises, and if it's not the Titans, someone out there would be willing to put the work in to get you in their organization, because you will be a valuable asset. I think Corey's right at that cusp of proving that he can be reliable, dependable, and a valuable asset for an organization. And I think the Titans will be primed for him to come back and have that opportunity with them to have a solid number two spot and a great opportunity to make some complimentary plays on the side of this run offense and AJ Brown.
You've been in this situation before. How much does knowing that, not security, but that comfort and knowing the scheme and knowing that you're in a good place with that scheme, how much does that weigh into the program?
Well, definitely a lot. You know, I'll say this. My situation in itself, when I became a free agent from Pittsburgh, was completely different. You know, I had made some plays and done some things throughout the time that not only was my coaches telling me that I had a major opportunity in front of me, but I had teammates telling me, from Hines Ward to everybody telling me, like, look, if you come back here next year and you sign for number three wide receiver money, then we all kicking your butt because you need to be somewhere starting. So, like, I wasn't in a starting position previously. My opportunities were obviously limited being in Pittsburgh, and they knew that I would, you know, be in a better position going somewhere else and becoming a number one or a number two receiver with a greater opportunity. Corey's already in a starting position, and having that opportunity in itself is going to present those situations next year for him to come up next year and make some plays. And I think that'll just, like I said, it'll raise his market value. And knowing the system, as you stated, knowing this system will allow him to come in this offseason and work with confidence, not work with trying to find his way through, not trying to understand the terminology, not trying to understand his role. He's in a position now where he's flourishing with his reliability and dependability and going and making some plays, and to have that comfortability to come back with the coaching staff, with the locker room of guys, you know, and a system that's going to do major things for his confidence. And I've spoken before about how confidence can affect a player's ability to go make plays. And I know, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, you guys are professional and these things should be, catches should be routine for you guys. If he's not catching the ball, he shouldn't be. Listen, let me tell you something, man. Just like any job, if your boss says you job well done, then your work will increase. And to see this guy coming along as he's coming along with this fan base behind him, I'm pretty sure that our organization is ecstatic and is praising him within behind closed doors. So to have that feel like home, I think this, you know, him coming back next year definitely will give him a lot more comfortability and confidence moving into next season, knowing this offense and this organization.
And I think for a guy like Corey Davis that has finally gotten into a good position, that is something that you really have to weigh in. Looking at what the Titans are facing, I think there's a good chance they can bring him back. You can find the money to bring a player like that back. There are multiple things that they could do. And then I think you also have to consider some of the contracts. A few of them stand out to me. You know, when I look at Robbie Anderson signing 2 years, $20 million with Carolina, that tells me that, you know, you could get Corey Davis on an affordable contract. And then you look at some of the other guys, right? Taylor Boyd, you know, his was, what, 4 year, $43 million or something like that. So I think between $10 to $12 million, and I don't want to be someone to count someone else's money or be in someone else's pockets, but I want to kind of look at where this deal could possibly come in. And I think $10 to $12 will really work. But either way, they need to get it fixed and bring Davis back because he's become a critical part of this offense. So when we get back from the break, I want to get into something else about the offense, Nate. And I need to know from you if this offense is too predictable. That's what we're going to go over when we get back from the break. Let's pay these bills and come right back. Yeah, this is home. All right, here we are once again, Nate and TD. Nate, this offense that the Titans have, I don't know, man. It's starting to get a little predictable, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, there's a few plays such as, you know, the screen to Derrick Henry, running on first down. You know, the play action, crossing route. Some of these things you could just know when they're going to get dialed up. It's crazy that they still work, you know, knowing how predictable it is. But in my opinion, I think they're getting close. What are your thoughts on this becoming a predictable offense?
Well, I'll say this. From being in an offense structure a lot like what they have going on here, a run first, heavy run offense. I wouldn't necessarily say predictability is always a bad thing. For instance, 3rd and 2 last weekend, or, you know, we're expecting you to run the ball. It's predictable, yes, but we're expecting you to run the ball because that's not only what you do, but that's what you do best. I think the predictability comes in to hurt you when there's now a fringe. When I say fringe area, I mean 20 to 35 area, and it's first down. Now I'm expecting play action on first down nowadays. I'm expecting the gadget calls, as they call it, which is the trick plays on third and short now. I'm expecting these type of things, and it's getting away from, as I stated before, being unapologetically you. I think these predictions of your offense are going to end up hurting you. You know, these play action plays, the dagger route, as I've stated to you, you know, time and time again, the short drag routes that they love on third down with the slot receiver away or the tight end away. I think these things are going to have to, you know, begin to start to change up. Whether you have those guys returning on those drag routes, whether you have a complimentary route off the dagger route, off the short play action, that can do, you know, give you a different look. But when you look at offenses around the league, specifically in looking at Kansas City, they do an excellent job of scouting themselves. They know what they ran the week before, and Andy is going to give you a look that looks exactly like that previous look and run something off of that. I seen last week them run a reverse off of a jet sweep, and that's so uncommon, that's so unlikely. You know, those type of things are going to have to occur unless you are capable of being unapologetically you, meaning running the ball when you're running the ball well. Obviously, Derek is going to have to be able to, you know, bear that load and make sure that he's giving them everything that he has on every single run because, you know, and honestly, you know, if this is going to be a requirement from this offense, then that's, those type of things are going to always have to work. And, you know, even looking at the two-point play, the run to Derrick Henry, you know, I just wish he would have finished that a lot more, you know. And if you're going to rely and be unapologetic about being predictable and running the ball, then you have to have a back that every single play is ready to punish and give everything he's had. And I know it's a huge requirement, but, you know, I play with Chris Johnson. I know these things come and go, and I've seen a guy be able to do it. So I'm pretty sure he's very capable of it. But, you know, all in all, the question is, are they becoming predictable? I would say that they are, but they have to be the right type of predictable.
That two-point conversion attempt, that one, man.
That hurt my feelings, man.
Yeah, we were texting about that, you know, and that was definitely a disappointment. That predictability, I think this team, they know that they can run the ball. They know that they can, and everything works off of that. So, like you said, it's not a bad thing to be predictable when that's what you do best and that's what you specialize in, as you said. But I really think that they need to get some more balance to that. And I believe that Tannehill should get to pass the football more. It's almost like he's getting beyond that old game manager title. He's starting to get into that point where it's, hey, I need you to go win this game for me. Not I need you to make two or three big plays. I need you to go win it. And that's something that he tried to do last week. It just wasn't possible after that big hole. But do you think Tannehill should actually get to, you know, throw the ball a bit more?
Well, here's the thing. I think his opportunities have increased. I don't know the specific statistic line of the last couple of weeks of his attempts. But, you know, watching the games and watching the replay on the computer, I feel like they have increased. Here's the thing. I know that he stated previously that they're not play action, Art Smith has, but I feel like there's a lot of him turning his back to the defense. A lot of play action fakes here and there, whereas I would love to see just straight drop back. Even in his shotgun stance, I would love to see a just straight 2-3-step drop back, allow him to get the ball out of his hands and march down the field that way. I think it's becoming complicated for him to turn around and find his open guys. And at those moments, he's finding the guys that he's comfortable with. He's going to A.J. Brown. Now he's relying in a lot more in Corey Davis. But, you know, there's different, you know, people on this offense that I think could also help them out in major ways. But you're going to have to give Ryan an opportunity, as you stated, to open up his catalog of pass plays, I would say. Give him more regular drop back passes. Allow him to keep his eyes downfield. Convey the defense for what he sees and allow him to take what they give him. But I would definitely agree with you. I think, you know, throughout this time, especially with, you know, Derrick Henry as your feature of this offense, he's definitely going to have an opportunity. His opportunities increase to throw the ball a lot more and put his team in position to win. Because as you stated, you know, his game management is there. He's proven himself to, you know, control the turnovers of the game. And with that being said, he's definitely going to have to be complementary to that run offense. And he's not going to be able to do that without the opportunities.
Yeah, and that's it. It's all about opportunities. And one of the opportunities, one of the targets that he likes to go to the most is Jonnu Smith. Jonnu spoke today, and he said that he's feeling healthy, and he's back in order. He said it was a few decisions within the building that, you know, kept him from playing last week, but he's ready to go. So that's something I think has to be re-injected into the offense. You look at what he's able to do, right? Whether it's a tight end screen or it's just him, you know, running that crossing route right off the line, doing that. I mean, there are different things that they could do to get him the football, especially in the red zone where he's become, you know, an outstanding red zone target. What are your thoughts on Jonnu Smith getting back into the mix of things?
Definitely missed by this offense. Jonnu is one of the rare tight ends in this league that has the bigger body, the bigger physique, but still have the capability to run routes like a receiver. You know, I think he's not, you know, obviously your Travis Kelce-esque, but just his ability in itself is going to give this offense an opportunity to open up, give Ryan another valuable option to go out and make plays. You know, his ability to make plays out there and get open is something that has definitely been beneficial for this offense. And you can tell it's been lacking, you know, even trying to find plays from Adam Humphries last week and his, in Jonnu's absence, to find that another body to go through to, I think it's just been complicated, unfortunately. And it's definitely been an opportunity for them to go out and have another guy go make some plays, because obviously with Corey getting 12 targets a game, AJ having the name he has, and Derek obviously, you know, leading this league in rushing right now, there's more room to make plays out there. And to not have that third, fourth guy, you know, be consistent in being able to make plays has been conflict. So to have Jonnu back out there, obviously them releasing Delaney in this last offseason gives them confidence and knowing what they have in the guy. And to have him not out there has definitely been hurting them, but to have him back should definitely help.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, because he is going to be back in the lineup this week. But I think we need to go to our special guest when we get back from the break.
My guy.
Yeah, the lumberjack. Weston Woodyard. So we'll go to a break. We'll be back with the lumberjack. Nasty dog. Somewhere, I know our next guest is out there stepping it up. You know what I mean? The lumberjack. Wesley, what's going on, man?
What's up with it, T? What's up with it, Nathaniel?
My guy!
Yes, sir.
What's the deal, baby? How you feeling, lumberjack?
Man, I'm feeling great, man. Just here, man. Me and the wifey got a little long time, downtime. I'm about to get ready to try to take it down through there, but why?
Oh, man, y'all got some time off tonight, but we ain't going to hold
yes,
it long.
Sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you giving us some of that.
Yeah, man. We love to bring our people on out on the first state, you know what I'm saying, what they got going on. So, Wes, go on ahead and let our listeners know what you got going on right now in retirement.
Man, so you know, man, well I'm kind of semi-retirement, so you know, I'm just chilling right now, man. I'm a part-time, I should say, baseball coach, you know, assistant baseball coach. Wow, man, just enjoying this fatherhood, bro, and just, you know, sitting back and just finally seeing the benefits and the blessings that this game of football has blessed me. You know, of course, leaning on those friendships, just talking to my guys, but man, just really enjoying it and being a fan for the first time. Now I get to see
and it's
the
something.
Frustration.
Yeah.
So, man, it's been great.
That's dope, man. The best thing about it, I think, on the other side is having that opportunity to become a fan and to have our insight like we do. Yeah. So my next question to you, how do you feel? Obviously, I think a lot of the fans would love to know. How do you feel at home sitting watching the Titans and the state of this defense right now? Where are you at mentally with this?
You had to go ahead and put me on the spot right away, man.
Yes.
Honestly, man, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in our defense, man. You know, I still got a lot of love for those guys, but I'm seeing a bunch of the same carryover mistakes being made by the defense. And at this point in time, you know, you can definitely tell that the leadership is a little bit struggling at this point, but I've been saying it this whole year, man, when you lose three guys in every position room on that defense, it's going to be a shifting of tide. So, man, those guys that are there, they just got to continue to fight the course, continue to buy in, and just make plays at the end of the day. If you don't like the call, you still got to go out there and line up and make the plays. So, yeah, man, I've been frustrated this whole year just like any other fan, man, any other Titan fan. I've been heated, been seeing plays out there. I'm like, come on, Rashawn. Come on, Jayon.
Right.
Baby, make the play. So it's like, I know those guys are capable of doing it, but at the end of the day, man, yeah, I get frustrated because I know, man, if I'm in that locker room, it's going to be some accountability being held across that thing. So I would definitely like to see that. I talked to my boy KB, man. He's still in good spirit. I told him to go out there and get you a couple interceptions, man. So he's long overdue. So KB is going to have to be that guy that takes that defense to the next level. You play with a great safety, Palomalu, he changed the game. Like, right. KB has that kind of ability and that knowledge of the football game to do that week in and week out. So he's going to have to be that strong suit no matter what.
Yeah, KB is definitely due. And I talked to him earlier this week and just asked him about the difference between having a DC and not having a DC. And he said the main thing is they're just not executing the play calls. And obviously, in listening to these fans, they say, hey, not having a DC, that's the reason why the defense is struggling. But I want to ask you, because, you know, you're the guy that Dean Pease, he said you're the smartest player that he's coached. And you were the best teammate that he's watched, you know, as far as from a coaching perspective. You remember that before you left here last season. So is it a matter of not having Dean Pease? Or is it a matter of not actually having a defensive coordinator? What do you think is the main cause here?
Man, I definitely think, for one, anytime you lose a great guy like Coach Pease, you're going to feel the effects. And I go back. When we had Coach LeBeau, that carryover didn't drop off because we had who came in? Coach Pease.
Right.
Another great defensive-minded coach. And you love your head coach. You want to fight for your head coach. But there's nothing like when you get in those doors and those meeting rooms and you're one-on-one team, the defense with their D coordinator, they're buying in, they're listening to what he has to say. And you want to go for your D coordinator. You want to go to war for your D coordinator because at the end of the day, like, I know my accountability level is going to go up to the top. But first, it has to be ran through my defensive coordinator. And, like, the mindset and the mentality of a defense, it revolves around your D coordinator. The only thing that I can say that maybe I can notice is Coach Pease, Coach LeBeau, they were the same guys every week. Big defensive game, they were the same guys. Coming into the locker room, you get beat. Coach LeBeau, well, time ran out on us, fellas. We got to come back next week, get it correct. But the thing about a head coach, man, it's so many different emotions that you're going to have to deal with. So it's like, 1 week you might get this guy, the next week you might not get this guy. So it's like having this defensive coordinator could definitely relieve some of that stress, I'm sure, from Mike's side. And I'm sure he's noticing the difference not having Coach Pease, man. He's a wonderful guy to be around. And whenever you have that kind of guy that's in your locker room, you really never want to see him go outside of the building to see him leave. But, man, they're definitely struggling from that suit. And you can see it clearly at the beginning of the season. A lot of miscommunications coming from sideline communication, you know, on the field. You can see the frustration, guys maybe not getting the call on time or not getting the calls that they like. So I think it's a little bit of that going on, but they got the guys in place, man, that they wanted to make this thing work. They just got to get it all in line. And why not start this week versus Jags?
What about the pass rush? What can they do to get that better? Because, you know, last year you guys were sending Logan Ryan sometimes. Malcolm would come on the corner blitz. Like, there were different things that they were doing. Kenny was blitzing. What can they do to actually get some type of impact on the quarterback?
I think they got to believe in their pass rushers first, man. That's definitely something that, since I was in the building, that, you know, before Braves got in the building, Moore, Casey, Ragpo, those guys had big numbers in sacks. And then they kind of slipped away because we shifted from, okay, now we want to have an illusion to where we want our guys to drop more than rush. So we're going to bring our defensive backs more than versus our linebackers. So anytime that gets misconstrued a little bit, if you don't have those locked-in DBs, because the thing about Logan Ryan is, Logan had a short memory. Logan could get beat, but then he's going to come back, give you a sack. He's going to come back, give you an interception. And that's the kind of mentality you have with blitzing DBs. It's an art to blitzing, and most DBs don't have it. Kenny's a good rusher. But if you ask me, I think they need to let those guys really use their talent. I would like to see Harold, you know, go to that next level and just let those guys run straight, create fear in the offensive tackles and the offensive guards' mind by, hey, I got to get off of this rock because Harold is coming off the edge. Derek is coming off the other side. So I think they really just got to hone in on let those guys be dogs, man, because you got to figure it out. And I will say this, it's not all doom and gloom for the defense, because there's one thing about the Titans, man. These past 2 years, we get better as the season go on, and I'm really looking to see that.
Right.
And hopefully they can come out here and get some pass rushes started, because it's been lackluster.
Definitely. I would totally agree with you that throughout these past couple of seasons that the Titans definitely get better throughout that end of the season. And I would love – I'm going to set my next question up with this. I'm going to introduce my fan base right now that's listening to how I first met Wood. So it's our first –
I already know
where
this is going.
I'm not going to say no names because I don't want any controversy with that. But we get in guys, we get our free agent guys in, and, you know, it's always, you know, whether you've played against a guy in college or you played against a guy in the league, it's always a new fresh start when you just meeting a guy. So here it is, you know, we out there the first time, and we're on the field for walkthroughs. We're on the field for walkthroughs in the spring, I think it was, actually. And we have a guy on the offense that is, I'm talking about, we're out there. We don't even have practice yet. We're out there literally in jerseys, shorts, and tennis shoes. And we're out there. We're just going through the motions to get, you know, everybody accustomed to the new play calls, getting lined up, your assignments and everything. So we're walking through against the defense. Sure enough, I hear, all right, man, you're going to touch me one more time, man. It's not that serious. Calm down. And I look over. And Wood, the person that Wood is talking to, I'm like, oh, Wood don't know what he's getting himself into yet. Because this guy that he was talking to was one of these overworkers, man. He was going to make sure that if we had to be in the building at 8, this guy might show up at 7 and unlock the building himself. That's how hard a worker he was.
And he was in the weight room.
And he was in the weight room. So, sure enough, like, two more plays goes on, and all I hear is, all right, man, quit touching me. Bop, bop. And I looked over, and Wood done stole off on the guy. No helmet, no nothing. I said, oh, this new dude that we got on defense is not playing. So my question to you is, besides Jeffrey Simmons, when you look at this defense right now, who do you feel like has to, in the last quarter of this season, turn on that, you know what, I'm not playing type of mentality?
Yeah.
Who is going to be that impact on the defense that's going to have to turn that leaf to make sure this defense is stepping up?
I mean, to honestly think about it, I would say one guy who I really wish could step up, but they're injured, and that's Jayon, because I could start to see a shift in maturity. But you brought up another key guy who I've been – talking about as a household name throughout the league, and that's Big Jeff. Like, Jeff has that demeanor, that physicality on the football field. He can freaking look at you, and you're going to get your tail lined up right. But I'm going to have to put it on Rayshon. Rayshon has to step up in a big way, because this is supposed to be his defense right now. First round pick, your first pick from Mike's, his regime. Like he has to be that guy to step up throughout this latter part of the season and put the defense on his back, not making bonehead mistakes, not, you know, causing, you know, stupid penalties here and there. He has to be that guy to step up because it, to me, I don't care what you say. You can have an all-pro safety in that back end, Ed Reed back there. That defense still ran through Ray Lewis. And any defense that's scared, to go back to your point about my tussle and walkthrough, when I came to Tennessee, like coming in that building, we sucked as a defense. And that was my mentality. Yes. Like, I ain't taking no crap. I ain't taking nothing. And you got to have that. And look, man, I really want to see that from Rashawn because I know he can be a great linebacker. So he's got to step up and take on that leadership and mature faster because, you know, you don't want that time to run out, man. We've seen this one thing about the Titans, man. They don't play when you don't turn around and perform well. So, man, Rashawn has really got to step up in a major way to take this defense, to me, not just a playoff team, but a team that's considered a championship team. It's a different and two different teams. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, the New Orleans Saints, they're looked up as championship team. Right now, the Titans, man, we're looked at as a playoff team, and we don't want to be that. We want to be that team that's feared offensively and defensively.
No doubt about it. No doubt. And I can't let you go without joking about the shirt, man. A couple years ago, 2018, it was the game. And I remember coming in the locker room, and there you were, standing there with some shades on, looking like someone from Grand Theft Auto with that button up. And you said it in front of everybody. You said, we're Jaguar killers. And during the break, one of the callers, they called in and they asked if you could play this week. So definitely know that you are missed.
Hey, man. I already know, T, man. I know I'm missed, man, throughout the locker room, throughout the league. But it's been a crazy year. But I will get back to this, man. This is what we do. We Jag killers, baby. I don't care who on the field. We out there hunting and searching for Jaguars, man. It's a way of life. It's a way. It's a code. Yes. It's a creed. Man, them guys took some games from us, some very important games, some games that took us out of the playoffs. So, like I said, to go back to what Nate was saying, that mentality when I first came to Tennessee, like, I'm going to stand up for something. I'm going to put my word on it. Just like with Jag Killer. Like, you can't sit here and pack a change of outfit and not go out there and dominate the game. Like, that's all thought process. If I get to the game beforehand, if I pick out something to wear, a Jaguars outfit, I'm already knowing in my head, like, this don't be a dub. It has to be a dub, or I can't wear this. So I say that to say this, man. Those guys got to come into this game looking at it this way. The Jacksonville Jaguars are coming to trying to kick your butt and embarrass you. And to me, that's what the Jaguars do. They come in and make these games tough every time we play these guys. They're one of our rivals in the division. So it's always going to be tough, man. But we're going to go out there hunting. I'm looking for – I probably – put some Jaguars on the grill probably around about 3:30, 4 o'clock, get the cold heated up, man. So I can smell. I love the taste of Jaguar.
There you have it right there. Folks, this is why, just part of the reason why he's missed, not just in the locker room, but with us in the media, man. And Wesley, I'm following along and definitely wish you the best, man. Enjoy the rest of your evening with wifey. I know getting that alone time is critical, so hey, enjoy kid. That.
Hey, I appreciate
man, take
it, man.
It easy on that woman, Wood, man.
Hey, man, you know I'm a lady, Wood, but look, Nate, hold up before I go. I'm going to just go ahead and say that I lifted the Nate ban. We can now start back calling you Nate. It's been almost about a good 2 weeks now since the name Nate has took a huge embarrassment, so I can no longer call you Nate Daniel. I'm going to call you Nate now, all right?
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, man. It was rough on me that night, man.
Oh, I already know, man. I could not believe it. But you know what? I don't know why basketball players be trying to do all these other sports. That's not what y'all cut out to do. Don't do it.
Yeah, the lumberjack. Yes. Weston Woodyard. So we'll go to a break. We'll be back. We'll be right back. Yeah. That Black Rob. Whoa. Hey, Nate, that was a great interview, man. Wesley Woodyard is an absolute trip, man. He's a fool. Wow. Had me cracking up.
He's off the chain, man. Crazy.
I'm still laughing at the story you said about the two-piece that he gave out. No coleslaw,
story, huh? Man. Hey, listen, swole my man's eye up real quick. I said, oh, boy, get ready.
That's hilarious, man. One of the things that Wesley said that really made a lot of sense and is very true was about the Jaguars and how they always give the Titans a tough game. Week two, that was definitely a tough game. I mean, this team is one and I don't know, whatever they are. They got one win. I think they're better than their record, and this is a game that the Titans, they can't take it lightly. They can't look at it as just a tune-up, you know, in front of another tune-up before they play Green Bay. That rushing attack is there. Mike Glennon is not, you know, a solid quarterback, but they have options that can make plays once they get the ball in their hands, like Laviska Shenault. And you look at Colin Johnson, DJ Chark always gives them problems. The defense is stout. They're tough. Last time they played, the Titans weren't able to run the football that well against them, you know, and that's something to take note of. So for you, do you think that they're better than their record? And if so, why?
I definitely agree with you. I'll go specifics really quick here. But in my opinion, you know, when you look at this team and what they've been capable of doing in a losing effort, they have a top five back in the league. James Robinson is, I think he's number three or four right now on total yardage. And with that alone, they've been riding that wave. As you said, Chenault's been playing good. Shark has always been playing a great game. So, you know, their play is there, and they just haven't been winning the ball games. And I would totally agree with you. This is a dangerous game for the Titans. This is one of those games that in a despair moment where you're trying to tune up and get your things corrected. You know, this ball team can actually come out and beat you. This organization, they play hard and physical for a full 60 minutes. And even with Doug Marrone and his hot seat that he may be sitting on right now, these guys are still playing for him. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Titans come out and address this situation, because I definitely feel like this Jaguars team is definitely way better than their record. And I know for a fact they're going to play a full physical game of disciplined ball to make sure they put themselves in a position to try to win this ball game and take it away from the Titans.
No doubt about it. So we know it's going to be a test. I mentioned James Robinson in the running game. I'm going to put it all on you. We're going to get your key matchups on offense and defense. And let's start on offense. What's your key matchup? What's the key to the game for this Titans offense?
Well, obviously, you know, when you look at this Jaguars defense, for me, it's still a Miles Jack defense. You know, this guy plays across from sideline to sideline. He does an amazing job. And to be honest with you as well, when you look in this secondary, Trey Hernandez has been doing some good things as well. I watched him play against T.Y. Hilton earlier in the season. I think he kind of just put T.Y.'s season in distraught because of how well he played. So I think A.J. is going to have a great matchup with Trey this game. And definitely this running back core with the Titans and Miles Jack running from sideline to sideline is definitely going to be interesting. I think he's capable of causing some turnovers, and they're definitely going to have to be aware for Miles Jack.
No doubt about it. I'm glad you mentioned Miles Jack. I think Joe Schobert is another guy that could be mixed in, and he did a good job against the Titans rushing attack the first go around. So what about the defense, right? We heard Wesley Woodyard. He mentioned Jeffrey Simmons. He mentioned Rashawn Evans, Kevin Byard. What's your key matchup on defense for this Titans team against Jacksonville?
Well, I'll allude to something else that Wesley said as well. I think this is going to have to be Rashawn's game to take over leadership. Obviously, Jeffrey's been playing with high emotion, and this D-line has been doing everything they can. But when you look at the emotional state and the leadership state of this defense, it's been tough. They need a guy that's going to step up, gather them together, expect the most out of all of them, do what he can to lead them into not only the physical but disciplined promised land that's going to put them in position to win this ball game. And a lot of times you're always going to look at that linebacker. You're always going to look at that soul of that defense. And I'll agree. You know, when you look at him being a first round draft pick, being in the latter part of the season, knowing that this is the time that the Titans need to turn the leaf and get prepared for this playoff run, he's definitely going to have to be the emotional and disciplined leader to turn on the switch and make sure he's requiring everything around him from the guys out there on the field at the time.
Well, as far as predictions are concerned, I'm not going to get too far into that. I would imagine you have the Titans winning. I have the Titans winning. This team isn't in any standpoint where they could just, you know, go out on the field and it's, you know, it's just an automatic win. I'm not saying that, but I think this is a game that the Titans do win. There are some other teams out there that are struggling a little bit more, and man, there's a big change coming in the NFL, and that's a part of what makes me go, Kenny, can I hear a little something, please? Things that make you go, hmm. Things that make you go, hmm. Things that make you go, hmm. Yeah. I tell you what, I'm going to tell you what really makes me go, hmm. And that's what's going on in Philly. Goodness gracious. Jalen Hurts, the guy that so many people said wasn't a quarterback, is starting for right. the Eagles. Carson Wentz has continued his regression, and he's doing Taysom Hill imitations for the Eagles defense, who's getting ready for the Saints. So the thing that makes me go, hmm, is Jalen Hurts being the starter. I love it. I just want to really see how these Eagles fans and analysts are going to act when he has a good game. That's what makes me go, Nate.
I agree with you, man. And it's ironic that you've made this your point for your things make you go, because just the other day I was thinking to myself, I wonder how Carson Wentz's career would have went if he was the replacement and not the replacee. If he was the backup, I wonder if he would have had less pressure and would have performed better. It's interesting to see how this thing will go. I'm pretty sure Jalen's been preparing for this opportunity, and I hope everything goes well for him. But I definitely agree with you. I've seen something already with the media in Philadelphia getting on Jalen because he wore a Houston Astros hat to one of his pressers. And I was like, oh, this is definitely going to be interesting. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm definitely wishing the best for the kid. And we'll see how it pans out with Carson as well. It's big money on the table right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'll say this. You want to know what's going wrong with the world? You criticize Carson Wentz because they will explain everything that's not going right, including off of the football field, as a reason why Carson Wentz has not been successful. But the bottom line is the guy has just regressed and he's broken now. So, but I tell you what, Ryan Tannehill's not broken, and I'm expecting a 300-yard passing game from him and a 100-yard game from A.J. Brown, as well as Corey Davis. We're going to leave on that hot take. There you have it, Nate. As always, I appreciate you dropping the jewels that you drop. And this is what we do, man. Every week, 6 p.m. Central Time, Nate and TD on 102.5 The Game.